The book ends as it begins. The book begins with a reference to the unfinished work of Jesus Christ. And the book closes with the same flavor. Look at verse 30 and 31 of Acts 28. And Paul dwelt two whole years in his own hired house and received all that came unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. No man could stop Paul. You see, the Lord's work is not finished. The Lord's work is still going on.
This is Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale. Welcome to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need and to the edification of the Lord's redeemed people. Hello and welcome to our program today. I'm Andrew Fitton, the pastor of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, 1879 58th Avenue, Surrey. We give a warm invitation to you and your family to attend the Western Bible Conference in our congregation in Cloverdale from Friday the 31st of July through to Sunday the 2nd of August. The meetings will be advertised on our webpage, cloverdalefpc.ca. Do visit our page for the times of those services, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and our Facebook page as well will have the details of these meetings. During the month of July, we are sharing old messages from our conference with you here on our program. Today's preacher is Pastor John Greer from Northern Ireland, and his subject that he preached at last year's conference is entitled Christ's Continued Ministry. May the Lord bless his word to your soul today.
But you see, brethren and sisters, the reformers discovered that they had the truth, they had the Bible. That is why the Bible became the central feature of their worship. It was not the praise, though they sang. It was not even their praying, though they prayed mightily, those men. It was the Word. That is why they believe firmly that the pulpit should be where it now is. It should be in the center of the building or wherever they met to worship. And around the centrality of the Word, the entire worship of God was conducted. That is so essential as well. Because once more I have to say that in our day and generation, the pulpit has been shoved aside. And the authority of the pulpit has been set aside. It does not mean that the minister or the preacher has some personal authority all of his own. No, not at all. His authority flows out of the fact that the Word is the authority. The voice of Christ in the Scripture is the authority. Not what he has to say, the preacher, whether me or anybody else. And that is why the preacher must bring the Word. And that is why the congregation must come along prepared to hear the Word and to pray over what they do hear, because that is the voice of Christ coming to their soul. This infallible confirmation, the victory of Christ, the voice of Christ. But there's something else about it. The vicar of Christ. Look at verse 2, part B. It says, after he had through the Holy Ghost given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. I know that in their case, these commandments were probably many of them of a special nature that you then find in the New Testament. But what you notice there is that he gave it through the Holy Ghost. And that is important. And I use the phrase, vicar of Christ, deliberately. Here is the Lord, he's risen from the dead. He's about to go back to heaven, and he does go back to heaven. But when he was on this earth for those 40 days, teaching those apostles more truth and further details about his mind as well, he did it through the Holy Ghost. He did not say to Peter, "Peter, you're the chief apostle, and I'm going to channel my truth through you." No, he gave it through the Holy Ghost. And you know what I am saying here. Who is the vicar of Christ in this earth? And the answer, of course, is very simply the Spirit of God. You see, the Holy Spirit is the channel of truth. Even when the Lord was on this earth, remember this, when Christ was on the earth, for those 3 years or thereabouts, when he preached and he ministered and he wrought his miracles and all of that, he was conducting that entire ministry in the power of the Holy Ghost. He was filled with the Spirit at his baptism. He was filled with the Spirit without measure, we are told in John's Gospel. That means that Jesus Christ had an infilling of the Holy Ghost like no one else. Yes, the apostles were filled. And men ever since have been filled with the Spirit for service, for ministry. But no one had an infilling or has an infilling today on the same level or in the same measure as Christ had. That is vitally important. In other words, when the Lord was on this earth ministering, he did not minister in the power of his own eternal sonship. He was God the Son. But he ministered in the power of the Holy Ghost. He wrought his miracles by the Spirit. He delivered his messages by the Spirit. Everything was in the Spirit. And here's something vitally important. When he came to die, what does the Bible say about the Lord's death? Well, it says many things, many details. Hebrews 9:15 gives you another one. Who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot unto God. When he was dying, he was full of the Holy Ghost. The infilling of the Spirit remained in Christ until he died. And even as he died, he was filled with the Spirit. Imagine that. The blessed Spirit filling the Son of God as he's in the agonies of Gethsemane and Calvary, as he is bruised and battered by men, and the hair plucked from off his cheek, and his back lacerated with the whip of Pilate, and all of this is taking place, and men are rejecting the Son of God. I tell you right now from this pulpit, while that is all going on, the Holy Ghost is on Christ. And those men were blaspheming the Holy Ghost as they treated the Lord in that manner. What a sin they committed as they dealt with the Son of God in that awful way, who by the eternal Spirit was offering himself unto God there at the cross. Yes, the vicar of Christ, as well as the voice of Christ and the victory of Christ, those are three fundamental issues that we need to keep in mind, because they all come together, they all dovetail together with regard to this infallible confirmation of the Lord's continued ministry. May I say it to you in this way now, that the Lord's continued ministry on this earth, because it is continuing, is on the basis of the victory and the voice and the vicar of Jesus Christ, and on no other basis. And my friend, let me tell you something, that is thrilling. The foundation or the basis for the Lord's work to continue is not what we do. It's not a denominational name. You have to have a name to identify yourself, obviously. You can't function as a body of Christians unless you've got some identifying title. And that's all it is. But it has no merit, no value of any inherent kind that gives it any impetus or power. We are not relying on a name that was given to our denomination when it was born in Northern Ireland and has transferred to different parts of the world. We're not resting on that title at all. We're resting on the infallible confirmation of the continued ministry of Christ as he builds his church that is laid down for us here in these verses. But you see, this confirmation of the Lord's continued ministry not only was infallible, it was impelling. It impelled these men. You see, verse 3, as we have noted, reveals that during that 40-day period, the Lord constantly was among his disciples. It says it there, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. In other words, he was on the earth for 40 days after he rose from the dead until he ascended. But there wasn't one of those days in which the Lord was not seen by those men. Let me just say something here that is an incidental, but it's very, I believe, very interesting and very important. During those 40 days, the Lord never appeared to the unsaved. Not once. It was to the disciples that he showed himself alive. The last time the world of the ungodly saw Christ was when he was hanging on a cross. The next time the world of the ungodly will see Christ is when he comes in his glory. And we learn that here. It's an incidental little incidental detail, but I think it's important to note, the world rejected Christ. And therefore, during those 40 days, the Lord never appeared to them. Doesn't mean that he doesn't work among them, but he never appeared to them. And he's not appearing to the world again in a physical form until he comes. But in the meantime, he's impelling his servants by the confirmation of his continued ministry, as we've noted it here, this infallible confirmation. By that means, he's impelling on and sending and encouraging his servants to go to the world and tell the world about this Christ who has returned to heaven, who is no longer visibly seen on this earth, And that is why we don't believe in images of the Lord Jesus, by the way. And we should not use such things at any level of the work of God, because the Lord has gone from this world, and we are not to make the likeness of anything in heaven above or earth beneath or water under the earth, supposedly to enhance our worship. Whom having not seen, Peter says, ye love. And that's all we need. In whom though now we see him not, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Men and women, we don't need an image of the Lord to have us worship. We have the infallible confirmation that I've outlined for you. And that's what moves us, impels us to serve him. And I could go into that in more detail. It says here, the Lord showed himself alive. I'll just say a few little things here. He showed himself alive in those 40 days and so on, speaking to them the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. What did he show them? He showed them, I have made atonement for your sin. He showed them that he would never again be subject to death and to the cross, to suffering. Isn't that right? Never again is he going to die. He's alive. And as it says in Romans, having died unto sin once, he's alive unto God. He showed them that. I've made the atonement. The work is finished. I'm not going back to the cross. My suffering is over. My torments are done. I fulfilled the law. God is satisfied. There's no more need for a further sacrifice. Oh, I tell you, this demolishes Romanism. And it demolishes every other false religion on the face of the earth, because there are many of them. And every one of them tells people about further work and further atonement and your works and your prayers and all the rest of it to get right with whoever you worship. But we don't need to. And the Lord showed them this. He had made atonement. He would never be subject to death again. He was going to ascend to heaven to pray for them and to represent them. This has all been shown to these men. And that's what moved them. It moved them to prepare for the future. I was talking about the future in the meeting, the message yesterday evening. There's a future for God's work. And what I'm saying now is, what is it that will motivate us to do the work of God, to continue serving the Lord? And it is simply this. It is to realize that the living Christ is our covenant head, that he's in full control of his work and his cause, and that we are to serve him in this world and in our ministry. The Lord will never fail us or forsake us. But how are we sure of all that? We're sure of that because the Lord confirms it all, as we see here in Acts chapter 1. And that's what drives us. Not that we're driven in some mechanical way. You know what I mean by the word to drive, or the phrase, the verb to drive? That's true, truly being impelled. Your heart moved. Why have these young men left the shores of Northern Ireland and come to your regions? Why? What drove them? What moved them? It was because they saw that the cause of Jesus Christ requires men, for one thing, and they had specific dealings with the Lord over these matters, and he guided them to go to their different places. But it's more than that. It was out of love for the one who went to the cross for them. Therefore, they were willing to go to Canada, to Prince George, to Cloverdale, to Calgary here, because of Christ's love for them. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, the love of Christ constraineth me. And he's not talking there about his love for the Lord. He's talking or writing there about the Lord's love for him. The love of Christ constraineth us. And that's what moves a man. And that's what moves the Christian to go out around the neighborhood and give out tracts, if you can do it in your neighborhood. That's what motivates you, impels you to be in every meeting, the prayer meetings of the church, the worship services. That's what motivates you to take a stand for the Lord, for the standards of the book, for purity of worship, whatever you care to mention. What is it that motivates us in all these things? It's this view, this understanding that the Lord is confirming to us, my work continues on, and it's to be done in a certain way, according to my truth. Now go and do it, and do it for my glory. And so he's preparing these men for the future by showing them all these things. Do you know that, well, we have the record in Scripture of some of these men actually dying as martyrs, but the writings of the church fathers tell us that every apostle became a martyr. Now, I am just taking their words. We know that Peter died a martyr's death. The Lord told him that. John 21, showing him the manner of death that he would die. That was a reference to martyrdom. Paul died as a martyr, and so on. But the point is, here are men who know. We most likely will seal our ministries with our blood. And I tell you today, brethren and sisters, that's a serious issue. There's nobody in his right mind who would say, get me on the tied to the stake. Nobody in his right mind would say that. That's a horrible death. You don't talk that way. You don't think that way. So long as you're alive and you've got health and strength, you want to serve the Lord right through to the close. But to say to your congregation, I'm looking forward one of these days to be burned at the stake, that man's a madman. But some of them do lay down their lives. Even to this day, there are Christians on this earth who will be martyred before the day is over. It's happening all the time. They didn't look for it. They're not doing something silly just to draw attention to themselves and become martyrs. No, it's none of that stuff. It's simply motivated by the view of the atoning death and the risen Lord and his place at God's right hand that drives them and that motivates them. And so it is with us today. So the confirmation of the Lord's continued ministry. But there's also the character of the Lord's continued ministry. Notice again those words there in verse 1, the end of the verse. I commented on them, I mentioned them briefly. All that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. And as I said to you earlier, the inference of those words is that the Lord's ministry did not stop with his ascension. He did things, he taught things until the day in which he was taken up. But the point that has been made here is, by inference, is that what the Lord began to do and teach did not cease with his departure to glory. And therefore, the character of the Lord's continued ministry is this. It is an unfinished work. Now, have you got a hold of that? We believe firmly in the finished work of Christ. I mentioned that last night, and I say it here again today. We rejoice in the finished work of our Savior. That's a work that only he could do. But at the same time, brethren and sisters, there is the unfinished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord began to do certain things and teach certain things, and then he went back to heaven, and he's telling these disciples, as we saw last night, when I leave you, you are to go into all the world. And what is all that? It's simply this. It's the continued ministry of Jesus Christ, which is in character an unfinished work. What is it? What does it entail? It entails all that ministry is. And there's much to that. But you will know that Calvin laid it out in a threefold way. The preaching of the word, the administration of the sacraments, and the administration of discipline. Summarized there. All of that encapsulates the unfinished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The administration of the sacraments, or discipline, to me, they take their authority from the preaching of the word. It's the preaching of the word that is most important. The others are not unimportant, but it's the preaching of the word that will lead to proper administration of the sacraments and church discipline. I just say that in passing quickly.
Hello and welcome to our programme today. I'm Andrew Fitton, the pastor of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, 1879 58th Avenue, Surrey. We give a warm invitation to you and your family to attend the Western Bible Conference in our congregation in Cloverdale from Friday the 31st of July through to Sunday the 2nd of August. The meetings will be advertised on our webpage, cloverdalefpc.ca. Do visit our page for the times of those services, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and our Facebook page as well will have the details of these meetings. During the month of July, we are sharing old messages from our conference with you here on our programme. Today's preacher is Pastor John Greer from Northern Ireland, and his subject that he preached at last year's conference is entitled Christ's Continued Ministry. May the Lord bless his word to your soul today. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.